So we've talked about the potential issues that people may run into with ibrutinib. Let's talk a little bit about acalabrutinib, which you've been involved with in terms of clinical research. And maybe to get into that, we can hear about your 68-year-old man.
Yeah, so this actually is a patient of mine, 68 years old. I have a number of patients like this, actually. But he had been on a couple of therapies prior to ibrutinib, was started on ibrutinib, but unfortunately, after 6 months, developed atrial fibrillation. This was 3 years ago now. So at that point, acalabrutinib wasn't available commercially. But there was a clinical trial for patients who had been intolerant to ibrutinib where they could go on acalabrutinib. So this gentleman actually was treated at another center and his atrial fibrillation was managed. He was restarted on the ibrutinib, but unfortunately again developed atrial fibrillation, which was pretty difficult to control. So we put him on this trial of acalabrutinib, and he's done remarkably well over 3 years. His disease is still under good control. He has not had any recurrent atrial fibrillation. And he actually tells me that he feels a little better on the acalabrutinib just because of some of the other low-grade toxicities he had experienced on ibrutinib.
So any issues with headache with this man? I've heard about headache and acalabrutinib.
Yeah, headaches are very common within the first few months of treatment. I'm not sure exactly what percentage, but I think it's about 50%, maybe even a little bit more of people will develop headaches, which is interesting because you don't see that with other BTK inhibitors like ibrutinib. But they generally resolve after the first few months. So, you know, people usually can tolerate them if they take a Tylenol or something like that, and they go away with time. So I actually can't even remember whether he had headaches or not, but certainly I've seen that.
I've heard people say that caffeine helps the headaches. Is that your experience?
Mm-hmm.
Seems kind of strange in a way. What do you think the pathophysiology is or what's going on about why they get it and why it gets better with caffeine?
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea because there's not any targets that I know of that acalabrutinib hits that ibrutinib doesn't. They both cross the blood-brain barrier, so there's not really a good reason why you would see it with only acalabrutinib.
What is the spectrum of kinase activity of acalabrutinib versus ibrutinib versus other BTK inhibitors, and how much of a difference theoretically could it make?
Yeah, so the other irreversible inhibitors all are more selective than ibrutinib. So ibrutinib is the least selective, which could have advantages or disadvantages. But acalabrutinib specifically is quite a bit more selective. It doesn't hit ITK notably, which increases the potential for it to have efficacy in combination with antibodies. But as well, you know, there are a lot of toxicities that occur with ibrutinib that we're not sure whether they're BTK toxicities or whether they're alternative target toxicities. But I think you can tell from the side effect profile between those drugs, like which of the toxicities tend to be more BTK specific.
Interesting.